The Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the programme. This is The Friday Report. It's 1:10 and joining me on the show today then, as you may have heard at the end of the Isle of Wight today there, Councillor Bob Blessard, who's the Sandown Independent Member standing on the Isle of Wight Council, Mark Chiverton, who's Unison Branch Secretary for the Isle of Wight, and Conor Dyer, who's the Isle of Wight Youth MP. Lots of subjects. I'll introduce them as we go over the next 40 minutes or so. And if you want to comment, we would love to hear from you. We're on the phones, 822002. You can find us on Twitter. We are at iWhite Radio. Hashtag Friday Report, if you will. You'll also find us on the text. You can text IW a space in your message. Send it into 81222. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. And when we come back, we will be talking about our panellists' reactions to the way the council has been, let's say, having some discussions this week. I'll explain more very shortly.
The Friday Report. Getting to the heart of island issues. Isle of Wight Radio. This weekend, wake up with Lucy Morgan for the latest information on the ferries and travel across the Isle of Wight. Listen for the latest news, weather, and your chance to win with JR Zone. Weekend Breakfast on Isle of Wight Radio.
Lucy Morgan. JR Zone sponsors the Weekend Breakfast Show. JR Zone is perfect for kids' parties and it's hassle-free.
Isle of Wight Radio.
Isle of Wight Radio's Local Heroes 2015.
We've seen our sporting islanders excel and get to the top in athletics, swimming and sailing. Who do you know that deserves to be nominated as the Isle of Wight Radio Local Hero Sporting Achiever? Sponsored by Premier Ford, Riverway, Newport.
We could be heroes.
To nominate, see June's edition of the Beacon magazine or go to iwradio.co.uk. Isle of Wight Radio's Local Hero Awards is presented in association with Wight Fibre. Wight Fibre, delivering our best for the island.
WhiteFibre.com.
Think differently, learn differently at Studio School.
Studying at the Isle of Wight Studio School is different, with quality tuition from teachers who really care. And the classroom isn't just four walls. We get outside into the real world with the focus on business readiness and long-term work placements. We're actually developing real workplace skills.
For Year 10 September entry and 2016 inquiries, visit iowstudioschool.co.uk. Studio School, innovative education for ambitious learners.
This May half term at Robin Hill, the cheeky squawk birds are back. And they're up to their usual mischief and mayhem. Get ready to get soaked at the Squawk Splash Attack. Water battles, water balloons, what a day out. Activities take place every day during half term and come back as many times as you like with our free, unlimited 7-day return tickets. Robin Hill, a whole day's fun for the whole family.
At Asda, we know you love your brands. So here's 60 Fairy dishwasher tablets. Was £18, now just £7.97. And 875ml Surf Sensations washing powder, just £3.97. For the brands you love, you could be better off at Asda. Selected line, stores and availability.
You don't need a cat to tell you who an apple a day keeps away. But perhaps I can tell you that for about the cost of an apple a day, IAMS is crammed with all the daily nourishment I need. It helps maintain a healthy heart, skin, teeth, eyes, and my shiny coat. Not to mention strong immune system, muscles, and digestion.
Price can vary on retailer. Meal cost based on recommended feeding amount for a 4-kilogram cat.
IAMS. Great value and good for life.
The Italian Touch, bringing style to your aisle.
Proud sponsors of Mid-Mornings on Isle of Wight Radio. The Friday Report, getting to the heart of island issues. Isle of Wight Radio.
Good afternoon then. Welcome along to our panellists today. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Lovely to have you along. Thank you very much indeed. As I say, your calls, your texts, your comments as we go along today. We're going to start with some reaction to that council meeting and those comments, which you may have been hearing on Isle of Wight Radio over the last week or so. The leader of the Isle of Wight Council, Jonathan Bacon, has accused some members of not working in the best interests of the island. Councillor Jonathan Bacon told Isle of Wight Radio the four-hour annual meeting of the local authority last Wednesday, so a week ago Wednesday, was an absolute shambles. He was unhappy with how certain members had voted, claimed the island's Conservative group had ignored an agreement to work together, and he name-checked you, Bob Blizzard. You're a Sandown Independent member on the Isle of Wight Indeed. Council, and you were name-checked. Let's get your reaction first off to that, if
yes,
I may.
Yes, I was name-checked along with Councillor Priest for some reason. I voted for various positions for who I thought was the best candidate in each case, irrespective of party. So I really do think that Jonathan protests too much, and some of his comments were rather silly.
Do you think that, I mean, is it a fair accusation? You're not all working together. You spend more time arguing than you do moving the island forward. Was it a fair accusation?
No, I don't think it was. I mean, one of the purposes of being a councillor is to represent your community, do that to the best of your ability, and that might involve in the chamber having differences of opinion. That's what democracy is all about. You have a difference of opinion, you have a vote, and you get a decision. And bearing in mind it's a hung council, it may not always be the decision that Councillor Bacon would like to get, but that's the way it is and that's the way it works.
So is it a power thing? Is it about who's in control? Is it about democracy?
Well, it's about certainly about democracy. I think one of the problems is we have a minority administration which seems to think, for some reason, that it's a majority administration, which it isn't. I happen to think that the current administration isn't fit for purpose. I think quite frankly it's dysfunctional. We've seen what happened over Asda. Suddenly the council are getting shortchanged. They're doing nothing about that. I've recently had reason to write to one of the portfolio holders regarding an issue about investment in Sandown, and I did that on Tuesday. I haven't had a reply yet. You know, I think there are people of talent right the way across the chamber, and we should be getting the best brains to get the council out of the mess that it's in.
Because you, of course, had this motion where you were arguing it would be more representative if everybody had a bit of input. Just tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, that was the previous council meeting. I put a motion up that got approved, and that got rescinded at the annual meeting last week. But my proposition was that the cabinet or executive should be elected by the whole council. Now, Councillor Bacon, Councillor Jordan, Councillor Hillard and others were of that view 2 years ago when they were seeking election, because that was in their election manifestos, and it was also in the document Framework for Change, which was the manifesto of the island independence. People who signed up to that should now have clearly been prepared to stand by their convictions. But unfortunately, something that happens all too often, I think, in politics, people say one thing, when they get elected, they do something completely different. That's why there's so much cynicism about politics, both at local and national level.
You yourself, though, you didn't get onto some of the committees in a leadership role that you have previously been on. That must leave you quite frustrated.
Not really. We had a vote and we had a decision, and I accept that. I accept that with good grace.
Richard Priest also name-checked. We had a statement from him. I voted for a change in the constitution, your change, Bob, that would have resulted in the principle of the executive being appointed by all members of the independent group. I voted 6 months ago for the introduction of select committees. He says, I and colleagues have consistently stated the full talent and the whole chamber must be harnessed in the best interests of the island. And you can find Richard Priest's full statement online. He says he isn't and will never be a member of a party. Party. And you'll find that all online at iwradio.co.uk. We've got another statement here from Dave Stewart, head of the Conservative Group. He says the council leader is frustrated that he didn't secure for his candidates all the committee chairmanships at the recent AGM. The Conservative Group is so committed to joint working that we actually voted for Councillor Bacon as council leader, so he has an opportunity to try to hold his administration together. I don't intend to get drawn into a public autopsy of what has been, but we'll concentrate instead on what needs to happen now, because that is what matters to islanders. You two, Mark, Connor, you obviously haven't had a direct role to play out in this particular event. Does it matter to islanders? Does it matter to you? Do we spend too much time arguing about who gets to have a say and not enough time actually having a say?
Well, you see, I'm not a councillor, as you say, and I've worked within the council and opposite councillors and senior managers for many years, and of all parties and none. And I'm tempted to say I don't want to get intruding into private grief here, really. But I have to say, I think the key issue for staff and the key issue for islanders is what councillors are going to do. And I think there's a danger of overreacting here and getting into kind of personal squabbles. And I think people need to focus on the real issues that are, you know, affecting the Isle of Wight and are increasingly going to affect the Isle of Wight. Staff I speak to and Unison members aren't really too bothered, to be honest, who's chair of which committee, and they don't really think at that level. They're concerned about whether they will have a job this time next year. They're worried about the service that they're providing. They're worried whether that service will be in place, and they're worried about the implications of central government spending cuts, which are making their lives very difficult. They can't easily deliver the services that they believe island people need. And I believe people in the island community are concerned about those issues, and frankly, a lot of the time politicians don't entirely grasp, and I say this as being a politician myself in some ways, they don't entirely grasp the fact that the public aren't as obsessed with their sometimes petty squabbles as they are themselves. And I think there's a danger of losing focus. Plainly, these are important issues, but I think councillors need to be focusing on delivering services in a difficult climate and rising above the temptation to snipe at each other.
Connor, you come to this as a fresh-faced, young youth.
Yeah.
You're sort of looking at this as an almost idealistic role. What do you sort of feel when you hear about all this kind of stuff?
I mean, it is unfortunate when comments start being fired, or you hear about tensions within council meetings, that sort of thing. It sounds like I should have really attended this meeting, but with all my exams and all the revision and stuff, I couldn't make it to that one. But hopefully, I'll start attending more in the future. But one of the things that sort of makes democracy great in this country is that even though problems like this can happen, comments can be made, difficulties can arise, one of the best things about it is when the barriers that we come across are broken in things such as council meetings, and when people do start to work together and get past all the bumps across the road, that's when good ideas can really start happening and positive effects can be made. So hopefully this will just be a bump in the road towards more progress and better change.
Do any of you genuinely believe that, any sort of organisation like this, and this could be anything, this could be charity organisations where there's a board, fun clubs where there's a board, everything always seems to descend into arguments and politics and disagreements. And is there a way that you can reach that ideal where everyone genuinely gets on and makes decisions and things move forward
Let me just come in quickly and then others will come in. Plainly, life won't always be plain sailing because people, organisations are made up of people. They won't always see eye to eye. They won't always get on. So we know that there will be, peaks and troughs, ebbs and flows in terms of all of that. But I would urge everyone in the council to focus on the real issues, which this year is 28 million pounds worth of expenditure cuts. It's spread over the 3-year period. That is the issue that people on the Isle of Wight are concerned about. And they're not so much concerned about the actual sum of money, but the implications of that, both for employment opportunities on the Isle of Wight, but also in terms of service delivery, which impacts on people in their ordinary lives, and particularly some of the most vulnerable members of the community, which will be badly hit. And that's an ongoing problem. Councillors need to be focusing on that.
So, Bob?
I actually agree with pretty much everything that Mark has said there. But it's precisely because of the difficulties that we've got and the difficulties which will undoubtedly get worse following the result of the general election, I might say. It's precisely because of that that we need the best talents across the chamber to actually deal with it. And that is why I've argued, as I have, for a cross-chamber executive making the most of the, you know, substantial talents that we've got within the council chamber and that are not always being utilised to the greatest effect.
Is that something that you will continue to fight for, or has it sort of reached the end of the road now?
Well, it continues to be my view. It continues to be something that I will argue for at the appropriate time.
And Connor, I think you wanted to come back in.
Yeah, so I just believe conflicts always tend to happen. We would be human if we didn't have like conflicts when it came to disagreements. I can presume it happens everywhere. But I generally feel that whenever conflict does arise, and as I said earlier, whenever you get past that, it can lead to often better ideas when you come to compromise, when people with differing views decide to come together. That's when truly good ideas kind of like come into being, where I'd always expect, if be it in a youth council meeting or maybe in a group doing a project in school, if everyone agreed all the time, maybe that wouldn't lead to like the best finished product. Whereas if people do have those arguments and get past the sort of different views and opinions and mould them together, that can often make something much better and much more effective.
Mark Chiverton.
Yeah, I agree with those points that Connor makes, and plainly, hard, firm debate is very important. I think the sometimes, though, in facing problems of this magnitude in any organisations, there is a bit of a tendency almost, because it's so massive and so difficult to deal with, that people can turn against each other. But just to say, in terms of what Bob says, there is talent across the chamber, and certainly Bob himself is someone that I've known and worked with and occasionally against over the years in a number of forums. That's likely to continue, but I think it is important that there is a harnessing of all the talents within the council. I just hope that can be on a more harmonious basis than has been evident over the last couple of weeks.
Well, just in case you missed them, I'm just going to play Jonathan Bacon and the moment where he said what he said.
Mariah Carey reckons American Idol was the worst.
And clearly it's not that, is it? So let me press the old button here. I'm going to stop that one. If it was all about Mariah Carey, life would be a lot easier. Here you go.
Two very different emotions there. I'm very pleased to have been re-elected as leader, but I'm utterly embarrassed at the way the main part of the meeting on Wednesday went. I think it was, as a number of people have said, an absolute shambles and did no credit to the Isle of Wight Council whatsoever.
Just to clarify, Mariah Carey not involved in any shambolic council meeting at all, just to clarify. But do you care? Are you listening to this and thinking, do you know what, I don't care? Like Mark says, I'm interested in the money savings and how it impacts me. Or do you think Bob has a point here that the council should be more representative across the chamber? Let me know today. You can text us, IW, a space in your message. Send it into 81222. Give us a call here in the studio, 822002. And tell me what you think, really. Do politicians need to slug it out in order to reach better ideas, as Connor maybe suggested there? Tell us what you think on Twitter at iWhiteRadio, hashtag Friday Report. I think if we can, gentlemen, let's move on slightly and talk about some of the other issues that have been facing the Isle of Wight this week. And one of the big things that's been in the news quite a lot is plans for East Cowes. And creating this idea of a gateway through East Cowes onto the island. Red Funnel has its plans up. Those in turn could potentially lead to other plans for the town. Plans were on show yesterday. They're going to be at the Red Funnel terminal for the next few days. First off, your comments, if I can, on how important it is to have a gateway to the island as people step off that ferry and that first impression?
Well, I'll go first. I don't claim to be an expert on it. I think it's very good news for the Isle of Wight that East Cowes is getting that focus. I think it's great news that there are going to be 50 new jobs created in terms of maintaining or building again on that tradition of shipbuilding on the Isle of Wight in terms of new red jet. I think that's really good in terms of the important ongoing work in terms of renovating East Cowes. So I think that's very good news for the Isle of Wight, and certainly I would absolutely support that. I mean, we all know that the Isle of Wight, the economy does struggle. We have historically suffered from high unemployment, low wages. I think it's really good news that that investment is coming. I think it's good news about the on the job front, but I think it's great if East Cowes can be upgraded and become that kind of public gateway.
At what point is it important? Where's the line between public gateway and living on the island? And where, how do you find that balance that makes life for people in these gateway areas nice, bearable, pleasant versus the importance of it?
You'll excuse me if I don't comment too much on this, because as a member of the planning committee, I might well have to be involved in adjudicating on a planning application in the future. So you'll excuse me if I don't comment on this specific issue, but suffice it to say that obviously Wonders welcome investment, inward investment into the island. But beyond that, I don't feel that it's appropriate for me to comment.
Connor, let's come to you. How important is it for you as a, you know, looking out there? I mean, you're not sort of based in one of these gateway areas, but how important is it for you?
I mean, hearing about all these sort of investment plans, it's always good to hear that money is coming in and there are opportunities for spending to improve services on the island. And I don't know much too much about this gateway idea, but I know that positive sort of rejuvenation projects such as this can serve to kind of have a ripple effect, a positive ripple effect. So you improve the services, you make it nicer, and more people come to the island, more money is generated, more jobs, maybe more opportunities for young people to get involved, which is what I'm trying to achieve. And it all kind of, like, as I say, ripples to kind of make things a bit more positive. And obviously, if business improves on the island, if tourism improves, then that will continue and sort of be a big benefit to people on the island.
I was literally about to go to the phones. Do call in, by the way, 822002. Hang on the line for a couple of seconds and we will get to you, I promise, but just bear with us. So as I come to you, it might just take a minute or so to answer that call. Bob, I won't come to you then, obviously, as we continue the discussion, but there's, success in the sense that they're looking at building a red jet on the Isle of Wight, and that seems to have been welcomed. But there is also concern from people in East Cowes particularly, which, and a similar discussion was had in Ryde a few years ago with the Ryde Gateway project that never quite came to fruition. It is that line between inward investment and, really giving something back to the people in the town. How hard is that? How important is it to get that balance right?
Well, I think it is important, plainly, and plainly it's important that the view of the residents of East Cowes are taken into account. Plainly, they will have views on the implications of this for them and their quality of life. That is very important. Plainly, the inward investment issue is crucial, because we have suffered massively in recent years in terms of loss of jobs in the manufacturing sector, which used to be really thriving on the Isle of Wight, and many jobs have been lost, particularly in the East Cowes area. So I think this is very good news on that front. Having said that, there may be other problems which develop as a side effect of that, and plainly it's important to take into account the views of East Cowes residents in terms of that, and hopefully then the right balance will be struck in terms of ensuring the growth, the development of the economy without shattering the quality of life for people most directly affected in terms of people arriving on the island.
And in terms of the rest of the island, is this a good way to be spending the cash? Is this a good place to be spending the money? Do you think there are other areas maybe that would benefit, or is this a good sort of place to be putting it?
Well, I'd like to think it's kind of a good start, starting in an area which will be intaking lots of people in, like lots of tourists, maybe new residents to the island. I think it's a good start anywhere to invest money into, well, particularly with something like this, something like transport, as we are linked to the mainland by the ferry services and by our coastal towns. So I think it could be seen as a good way to sort of start the investiture. And as it's been said, having the Red Jet, the new Red Jet being built on the island, that's going to be a good start as well to try and get businesses going again on new projects, getting more of the island involved. I think it is a good start.
I'm just going to, I've got a text here now. Bob, this hasn't got a name attached to it, so it is just an anonymous text. Bob tries to disrupt every meeting. All councillors should focus on doing the best for the island rather than bickering. You were elected as an independent and should remember that you jumped ship. How do you react to that one?
I don't accept that I jumped ship. I was elected as a Sandown independent. That's what I remain as. I was invited to join the island independents who were trying to form an administration. I stayed in there for 16 months. I came to the view for a number of reasons that the whole group and the whole way that it was operating was dysfunctional. My reasons for leaving were fully documented in a letter to the then leader, Councillor Stevens, which I never received a reply to. And I continue to work for the best interests of my constituents. So I simply don't recognise the validity of that comment by somebody who clearly doesn't have the bottle to put their name to it.
I imagine if you are a if you're a politician, it must be very difficult because you obviously get elected on a certain a certain set of promises or a certain set of beliefs. But if those change, I mean, are you stuck in the in between the rock and the hard place there? How do you move? Do you shift or do you carry on and try and fight from within?
Well, I was elected on a. I issued a number of leaflets with a number of things that I was trying to achieve. That remains the case, and I feel that I'm in just as good a position to try and achieve things from where I am now, sitting as an independent, Sandown independent, if you like, rather than part of a larger group than I was before. Because I found myself, when I was part of the Island independent group, constantly banging my head against a brick wall.
Connor, just one final thought before we go to a bit of a break. Am I right in thinking that the Youth Parliament isn't party-based? You're more issues?
That is correct, because with the Youth Parliament, we're all elected independently. We don't have any political alignment or any sort of alliance or anything like that. And I think that's probably the best way to do it, because being joined to different parties and things like that, that's I don't think that's really the best way to do it, because then you have sort of party differences, that kind of thing. Being independent, our sole focus, or I say my sole focus, is to young people and to making a difference, and I try to do that to the best of my ability every day. So I wouldn't say I really need a party. I'll work with Andrew Turner and different people in the council all the time, but I don't need a party. I can go out and do this on my own and try and make a difference myself.
I'm not going to ask you to pin your colours to the mast, but presumably you have opinions. How do you find that idea that, you know, at Youth Parliament you have no party, but then the minute you move out of that into the real world of politics, if you like, suddenly you are expected to be in a party? If you're an independent, you're very unlikely, let's face it, to get voted into Parliament.
Yeah, I kind of find that it will probably be a little bit different, obviously, once I finish being a youth MP. And being a youth MP and being like myself, normally you are allowed to have those differences of opinion. As you say, I kind of have my own opinions, but I've always been kind of just neutral about a lot of things, really. But going out and having my own sort of opinions, I guess, if I wanted to continue a career of politics, I'll have to find my way somehow. But I think one of the most important things about being elected as youth MP is I can kind of have my own independent voice. I don't need to worry about party politics or anything like that. I can literally go out and just meet my own aims, which is trying to help other people.
All right, you're listening to the Friday Report. Joining me on the show today, Councillor Bob Blizzard, Mark Chiverton from Unison and Connor Dyer, the Isle of Wight Youth MP. We'll go away, have a little bit of a break, and when we come back, your reaction to the Queen's speech this week.
The Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio. This is the Friday Report.
Welcome back. This is the Friday Report. And joining me on the show today, Councillor Bob Blizzard from Sandown Independence, Mark Chiverton from Unison, and Connor Dyer, who's the Youth MP. Before we talk about your reactions to the Queen's speech this week, a question from Ali in Arreton. Just leading on from what we were discussing before the break there, is there a need for party politics at all at local council level? Why does there have... There isn't at town and parish councils, is there? Theoretically, that's an independent thing. So why have it at a local council level?
I think whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, I think it's inevitable that you will have it, because I think it's part and parcel of the way that politics operates. I think it's the if you've got budgets, if you're spending money, there's always going to be a political position on it. And whether it's the Island Independent Group who pretend not to be a party but behave like one, or anybody else, or even myself as a, you know, sailing alone now as a Sandown Independent, you're going to have views on budgets, so how much you should be spending, where you're going to spend it. These are all political decisions.
It's a political statement in itself, Bob, that you're a Sandown independent as opposed to an independent, as opposed to an independent on the independence group on the Isle of Wight Council. I mean, at what point do you make that judgment call?
Well, I stood as a Sandown independent, basically, because I wanted to do the best for Sandown. And at the time I did that, I wasn't a member of any political party.
But the Sandown Independence itself effectively becomes a political party when you say you're not independent.
It's registered with the Electoral Commission as a party, and I'm there to do the best I can for Sandown.
As I said, I don't want to intrude too much into this, but I have always found the concept of an independent group quite an interesting one. I mean, and I don't know, you know, whether Bob suffers from a breakaway in terms of a potential true Sandown independence. I think, look, I understand the point that is being made by the questioner in terms of this, but inevitably, in terms of running an organisation, there will be groups, whatever label you give them, and I think there is a coherence in terms of the national political situation in terms of national parties organising at a local level as well. I think people are free either to run either as an independent or under some other name, or as part of a group. I've been a member of the Labour Party on the Isle of Wight since 1979. I don't know what that makes me. It doesn't make me a careerist, that's for sure. But we've been, you know, pleased. I've been pleased as a Unison branch secretary. Unison is an organisation that's affiliated to the Labour Party. The efforts that have been made by the relatively small Labour group to try to focus on clear budget issues, and I hope that that will continue, because those are the real issues that all groups should be concentrating on.
Okay, thank you very much for your question, Ali, in Arreton on the text there. IW a space in your message. Send it into 81222. On Twitter, we are at IWhite Radio, hashtag Friday Report. And on the phones, 822002. But if you ring and you don't get an immediate answer, do bear with me. I will get there, I promise. Okay, EU referendum, Human Rights Act, VAT, all things that were touted around as being in the Queen's speech. Not all of them made it, but a vast majority did. They include a ban on income tax and VAT and national insurance for 5 years, freeze on working age benefits, 30 hours free childcare for 3 and 4 year olds by 2017, cutting the total amount a household can claim, devolution for Scotland and English votes for English laws at Westminster, more free schools, some schools turned into academies, a ban on legal highs, changes to the NHS. However, changes to the Human Rights Act weren't included in the Queen's speech, and of course the big one is the EU referendum. Your comments, if I can, on what you heard this week. Did they get it right? Have they missed things out? Your thoughts?
I think one of the difficulties is, particularly from the local government perspective, that local government's taken a huge hit over the past few years in terms of funding cuts. That obviously is going to continue, because they made a lot of spending pledges. They made a lot. They made promises not to increase various taxes. The only way that they can square that circle is to cut other areas that they haven't specifically mentioned. Local government will undoubtedly take further hits, and all the more reason that we need people at County Hall who've got the ability to work through what's going to be an ever worsening financial situation.
Were there any particular parts of what's been included in the policy there that worried you or you were pleased to see?
As I say, I think the biggest worry for me as a local councillor is the effect it will have on the local authority. I think if I can just refer to the referendum for a minute, which we're going to have in 1, maybe 2 years, that's going to lead to a lot of uncertainty as to the future. And I think one of the dangers is that that will lead to a lack of investment within from outside into Britain. No one's going to invest a lot of money in a new factory or whatever that might be predicated on selling goods to Europe if we can't guarantee that we're going to be part of Europe by the end of the decade. So I think that's very dangerous. You might recall that during the Scottish referendum, about a month before the vote, there was a poll that indicated that there would be a yes vote. From that point, any inward investment into Scotland virtually dried up until after the referendum. So I think we need to be mindful of things like this. Cameron's gone for the referendum because he's been running scared of UKIP. So I certainly will be, over the next year or two, will be supporting the campaign for a yes vote, because I think I think anything else is a no-brainer.
All right, Mark Chiverton, I'm not going to mention the word polls, especially to a Labour Party member following the general election. But, I mean, in terms of what was included in the Queen's speech there, your reaction to that?
Well, I think just to build on what Bob says, first of all, I think in terms of the whole question of the future of local government, I think that's still very much in doubt, because, as Bob says, if you've got legislation which says you're not going to increase taxes, I'm not saying there's a merit in increasing taxes for the sake of it, but if you've got that legislation, then plainly your hands are tied and something's going to give, and I think something that's going to give badly is local government. I think it's very interesting, even within local government, that with the development and proposal to have a lot of almost metro mayors, there's a potential for some of those urban areas to end up with more resources within the overall local government cake, and areas like the Isle of Wight potentially to lose out. So I think we need to watch that very carefully, and I think it would be I'm quite concerned about all of that. I think also that in reality, that strategy means that in reality, if you deprive local government, you're depriving poorer people of the resources they need to live. If you don't put up income tax, particularly for higher earners, and that's what I'm talking about in terms of high earners, then essentially people who are richer will continue to get richer. On the issue of the referendum, I hope that'll be sooner rather than later. I think it is a good thing, really, that people have got a choice on this. It's 50 years since we had a referendum. I'm one of those few people around who actually remember the last one. I actually participated in it. I actually voted yes to stay in at that point, and I'm almost certain to do the same this time, because I think to come out would be the wrong policy for Britain. But I hope it'll be sooner rather than later, because I think it is generating uncertainty. I also hope that whenever it is, it's on a day that is separate from local elections, because I actually think that probably the higher turnout and the differential turnout and the concentration on those European referendum issues which will accompany the election period will potentially have a distorting effect and bring about a distorted result locally. And I would hope that whenever it is, it's going to be on a day and time away from any local elections or any other domestic polls.
But I suppose then you have the argument that it's using up extra cash. If you could have done it all at the same vote, it would cost an awful lot less.
I think I think yes, it is marginally more expensive, but not massively so. And I think in terms of keeping those two issues separate, then I think that's a price that is worth paying, because I don't think it's a massive cost. These things have to be weighed up, of course. But I think the other thing, I do have a concern within this as well. I mean, the Tories, you know, trying to position themselves and posture as being the, you know, party of working people. I think there are other insidious things going on at the moment in terms of legislation which will further inhibit the ability of trade unions to organise, represent people in the workplace, campaign effectively in terms of improved conditions and ensuring that parts of the law are properly administered by employers. I think this is a further opening up a new flank in terms of a Tory attack on trade unions and working people and their representatives, and I think that's something that needs to be brought out into the open as well. I'm very concerned about it.
Okay, Connor, I will come to you for a quick reaction on that, but bearing in mind we've got 3 minutes left, I also wanted to ask you about your mental health awareness campaign, which you spoke to us a little bit about last time you were here. But just tell me a little bit more, if you will.
Well, ever since I've been elected, one of my mandates has been to try and increase awareness about mental health, anxiety, stress, that kind of thing. And all of this, a lot of it is based on my own sort of personal experience of it. Last year I suffered with severe anxiety. I was really ill. I was really concerned and worried. I was scared. I didn't quite know what was going on. And I, now that I've been through that and that I've recovered from that, my mission is to kind of try and go out and tell people, like, reduce the sort of stigma attached with mental health, to tell young people that they're okay. They're not the only ones that have it. A lot of people do suffer with it. Kind of increase the understanding and awareness, because I think if the understanding of what anxiety and stress is, what it can cause, if that's improved, then people become less scared and they can kind of deal with that better. And then as well as that, highlighting services that are available to young people. I know that later on today I'll be in talks with the Youth Trust about their service and what I can do to sort of improve awareness. And it will just be trying to improve that awareness and trying to start off this new initiative of mine. And hopefully it will improve the lives of young people on the island.
And we will, of course, we'll have you back on as that progresses. But if people want to contact you, how do they do that?
I have an email address. It's askdyermyp@hotmail.com, and Dyer is spelled D-Y-E-R. And anyone can come and contact me through that. You can ask me a question. I should reply to you. I'm always checking my emails, and I do enjoy replying to people and speaking to anyone. So if anyone wants to contact me, use that email. And yeah, so it'd be interesting to sort of start this mental health campaign initiative off, and hopefully it'll go all right.
And of course it is exam time, and it is that time where all that self-imposed pressure is back on. And it is largely self-imposed.
Yeah.
You think, oh my goodness, this is the only time I have to do this. But in reality, you know, 11 years down the line, you don't care. But, you know, it's very difficult at the time to get into mindset.
Yeah, I remember it always... being banged into the head, like, exam success, you need to do well. And I was someone that I was doing well in school. Well, I do well in school. I make the effort, that sort of thing. But then it's leading up to it, all the sort of self-doubt and worries that people can suffer with sometimes. And when that starts to put you down, and when that starts to become more add-on pressure on you, that's when you can start to struggle, and that's when things like anxiety can kick in. And if you're careful about it, and if you know what it feels like, and if you can spot it early, you can deal with it much better and be more open about it.
I think there are lots of nods in the studio at the moment, lots of nods agreeing with you. Connor Dyer, Youth MP, thank you very much for joining us today. Mark Chiverton, Unison Branch Secretary for the Isle of Wight, thanks for coming in. And Councillor Bob Blizzard, Sandown Independent Member for the Isle of Wight Council, thank you very much indeed. I'm going to leave you with one comment. It's come in on Twitter here, on the text rather, sorry. The Tories should be less childish at council meetings, says Mr. Price. I think Dave Stewart may disagree. His statement, as I say, in our website article, iwradio.co.uk in full. Tom Stroud on your radio next. Thanks for listening.
Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.